Jersey TV.
I'm going to give you some real meat today, so buckle in. How is it that a man, the Son of God, suffering the pains of death on the cross? I'm thinking of my own words yesterday. MZTV 1148. How could it be that a man who dies conquers death? It just doesn't make sense on its face, does it? Because he died. It would seem that he was a victim of death, wouldn't it? So how does someone who is a victim of death take away death so that death is conquered? I'll tell you how. Gonna have to go to the law of leprosy in Leviticus 13:13. Gonna have to go to 2 Corinthians 5:21 of how our Lord became sin. And I'm going to have to go to what I believe is a bad translation in the Concordant Literal New Testament. Very rare bad translation in Romans 3:26. The passing over of the penalties of sins. That's the wrong translation. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tie it all together. And I'm going to tell you how. That because Satan made a giant miscalculation in attacking our Lord on the cross. He emptied his entire arsenal. Because he knew that this was the one. This was the Son of God. And he brought everything against him. This is why our Lord suffered so much for the 6 hours on the cross, is because Satan unloaded the entire arsenal. And that was a huge mistake on Satan's part, because after he did that, there was nothing left. Death could not do any more because it exhausted itself. Death exhausted itself. It was, let me call it a supernatural death, an extra death. Death to the nth degree. And because of that, death was conquered. Now you need the details, and I'm going to give you the details. Hang on tight. There's an amazing law in Leviticus chapter 13, specifically verse 13. I'm going to build up to that. But the law of leprosy said that if a man contracted the disease of leprosy, and if it was found budding in his skin, then that man was declared to be unclean, and he was separated from the community. That makes sense, right? But this is what doesn't make sense. But in a way, it does when you think about it. Listen to this. Leviticus 13:13. If the priest examined a man and found that the leprosy had covered his entire body, not just part of his body, but if leprosy had budded over his entire person, then that man would be declared clean by the priest. When I first read that, I thought it was a misprint. How in the world could leprosy completely covering a person make the person clean? It's this way, because at that point the leprosy could not do anything more. It couldn't flourish anymore because it had nothing left to eat. It had nothing left to conquer. And so the man was clean after it covered his entire body. Now I'm going to apply this to Christ. Especially when we get to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, we find that Christ became sin for our sakes. I know the concordance says became a sin offering, but if you look in the text, the word offering is in light-faced type. I think it's even this way in the King James Version, which means the word offering is not in the original manuscript. And so Christ literally became sin. And now the question you need to ask yourself is, what is the outcome of sin? And we know what it is. It's death. Adam sinned, and because of that, he became mortal. death is the result of sin. So if Jesus Christ became sin, what did he do? He took the total and complete effect of sin, which is death. So in Romans 3, verse 25, we read of God who purposed a propitiatory shelter, that's Christ, our shelter from sin, from death, through faith in his blood for a display of his righteousness. This is exactly what I was talking about yesterday. The righteousness of God is manifest through Jesus Christ's faith in going to the cross. But what happened at the cross? The most horrible thing you can imagine, and this will never have to happen to you or me. We will never have to taste this. He became sin. He represented it. This was God's declaration. God declared him to be the representative man. Satan knew that. Satan knew that this was God's ace. And if Satan could destroy this one, then he would destroy all of us. He would destroy all of us because Satan knew he was the representative man. In this case, Satan is more intelligent than Christians on this matter because Christians don't understand that. Satan did. And he said, if I can get this one, then I get all of them. And that was true. Back to Romans 3. Whom God purposed for a propitiatory shelter through faith in his blood for a display of his righteousness because of the passing over of the penalties of sins which occurred before in the forbearance of God. In other words, human beings kept sinning and sinning and sinning, and there was a temporary covering for them in the law. The Day of Atonement, when the blood of the sacrifice was shed, and the high priest took the blood into the holy place, and it covered sins for another year. But here's the thing. We're looking at a display of his righteousness because of the passing over of the penalties of sins, which occurred before in the forbearance of God, towards the display, Romans 3:21, the display of his righteousness, yet now, apart from law, a righteousness of God is manifest. The manifestation spoken of in Romans 3:21 is the same here, I believe, as the display in 3:26, the display of his righteousness in the current era. But my problem is with the translation, the passing over of the penalties of sins. Penalties of sins is one word in the Greek. And that Greek word is harmatima. Now, the suffix ma means effect. So this ought to be translated not penalties, but the sin effect. The passing over of the sin effect. The full effect of sin is death. That was passed over. Even though men died, women died, people died all through, obviously, all through time since the time of Adam. But God passed over the sin effect. You say, well, how could that possibly be? Because people still died. Isn't that the effect of sin? Yes, it is. But I'm equating this now to the law of leprosy. Each person dies individually. And they die not being clean. They die having the poison of mortality coursing through their veins. But none of us became sin. It's such a rare concept to become sin. None of us become sin. We sin. But this is radical. To become sin, our Lord became sin. And because of that extremity, he also tasted the extremity of death. It was, I want to call it super death. I want to call it the full-blown, all-out effect of sin. Super death, ultra death, because this man, Christ Jesus, became, in the mind of God now, sin itself, and sin is so closely tied to death that if he's to become sin itself, then he would become death itself. You see how I'm getting that? Sin and death are tied together. But if he became sin in the mind of God, then he also became death. What was different about his death? It's this. It's the attack that he suffered on that cross. He was like the leprous man. And it wasn't just that death came to him like it comes to all humanity. No. It didn't just come to him. It came to him in draughts, in waves. It came to him with arrows and slings more than any other human being ever tasted death. I want to call it super death. I know I have no word in the scripture for super death. The closest thing I have is in Romans 3:26, the sin effect. Because it says that God passed over the sin effect. He passed over it. He didn't visit it upon any human being. And again, you would say, well, that's not true because every human being died. I'm just quoting scripture. He passed over that. He did not visit the ultimate death upon anyone. Just death, just ordinary death, because we're ordinary sinners. But he became sin. Thus, he tasted the becoming of death. It's easier to see when we go to the law of leprosy. When the leprous man becomes completely overcome with the disease, he's clean because the disease can do no more. And this was Satan's magnificent miscalculation. Because the problem, what Satan did, the mistake he made, was that he brought out everything. He played every single card he had, and he brought super death. You might say, well, there's no way that you can do more than death. Death is death. I know what you're saying. But fair to say that it was in the dying. It was the dying that led to death that was extreme. Let's say that. It was the dying . We may die. I don't think we are, but humans die. But nobody died. Nobody underwent dying like he did. Why? One reason. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Because he became sin itself. You and I will never be called upon to do that. No human could sustain that. Because if you're going to become sin itself, then you're going to become death itself. And you're going to suffer a death like no man has ever suffered. And everything that death had, whatever extra little torture or pain or agony or doom or gloom or horrible feeling associated with mortality came upon Christ. That was the horror of the 6 hours on that cross. And the miscalculation was Satan was betting the farm. He put all his chips, all his cards on that one, which tells me that he was holding something back the whole time. He's holding something back. Everyone that died before Christ, Satan was holding back some of the horrors of death because no one had yet become sin itself. But Satan knew that God had declared of that one, of his very son, that he would become the representative of sin itself. This is why God turned away from him at the cross. And he tasted dying to a degree that none of us will ever taste. Because I keep saying it. I have to keep saying it. I'm running out of words for this. But death exhausted itself on him. And because of that, it became clean. Death itself at that point became clean. Law of leprosy. Look it up for yourself. Leviticus 13, 13. When I first saw it, I thought it was a misprint. If the leprous disease buds and covers the whole man's body, he must be super unclean at that point. No, he's clean at that point because it's done all it can do. No more worries. No more leprosy. You can't pass it anymore. That was the thing with leprosy. This is why they separated you from the community, because it was so contagious. How contagious is death? Pretty contagious. Everybody catches it. We all got mortality. But one man, the Son of God, was dedicated to the task by God of exhausting it, of having it exhausted upon him while he was alive on the cross, suffering that death. And when he died, death had nothing left. No more sting, because it stung and stung and stung and stung and stung and stung him. Satan drew arrows out of his quiver that no one had ever felt. And it covered him completely. And when he died, Satan says, "That better be it, because I don't have anything left." That is the ultimate sin effect. And God passed over that sin effect. Didn't pass over the penalties of sins. He passed over the full effect of sin, which is the full effect of death. He passed over that. Nobody ever had to have that come upon them until Christ. And that was a display of the righteousness of God. And Satan would have said, "I hope and pray that that man stays dead. If that man doesn't stay dead," said Satan, "if that man does not stay dead, I'm screwed. I'm screwed because I don't have anything left." And what happened? 3 days later, that man rose from the dead, clean. And because Satan has no more bitterness, no more poison, no more arrows, we are clean because we were crucified together with Christ. Romans 6, verse 6. We were crucified together with Christ. So when death exhausted itself upon him, it exhausted itself with us. And yes, humanity still dies, but it's pedestrian death now. It's ordinary death. It's just, you're dead, but it has no more sting. It would if Satan had saved anything. If he had saved some sort of weapon, saved one of his arrows to get somebody else that was less able, less appointed by God, less Christ, but he didn't. But he didn't. That was his big freaking mistake. Be thankful he didn't exhaust it on you. Be thankful he did not exhaust it on you. But he did exhaust it on the representative man. And our fortunes are tied in with that man. We were crucified with him, and we shall also be glorified with him. Satan spent it foolishly. Glad he did. Miscalculation. Great job. Pat on the back. And And when our Lord rose from the dead, Satan knew the game was up. That was it. It was done. And now all he has left is lies, 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 and lies. But his lies have been exposed to us. We wear the full armor of God. We have the cuirass of righteousness upon us, the helmet of salvation. And we have our feet shod with the evangel of peace.